independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
There's been a lot of anger and frustration here at City Hall ever since Donald Trump took office, quite frankly. The mayor has been extremely stressed about how he's going to balance a budget with nearly $2 billion missing. So today, there was an enormous sense of relief. City Attorney Dennis Herrera saying that he is extremely pleased with the judge's ruling, which will not allow the federal government to take that huge chunk of money away, but rather just a sliver of it.
That is K2UV in San Francisco talking about yesterday's decision, sanctuary cities, and them ruling against Trump and his executive orders and Sessions and them wanting to hold money back, federal money, for any city that is a sanctuary city. It was to be expected. It really was. Trump even tweeted several things about, once again, you did the ban there. Now you've done the executive order for sanctuary cities. You guys are judge shopping. 80% of your cases are overturned because you're the most liberal of all of the, you know, the circuit courts out there. It's to be expected, right? Sanctuary cities. And the fight that's going to happen. And this fight is going to continue to go on and on. Everything that this president does, everything that he wants to do, this fight is going to continue to happen over and over again. George Orrick was the judge who presided on the case. This is the district attorney who helped in, stopping, at least temporarily, this executive order.
U.S. District Judge William Orrick ruled that Trump, quote, exceeded his presidential authority when he signed that executive order January 25th.
The court sided with us on every substantive issue. I hope this president learns from his litany of mistakes. His first 100 days have been a disaster.
No, they really haven't, and that's your opinion. You're a left-leaning city that is completely out of touch with mainstream America. And living in California and looking at the poll numbers when it comes to sanctuary city and the protection that people that are here illegally get, people are out of, you know, they're out of touch even with their own people, even people on the left. I was talking to somebody yesterday and even this morning about this because we're going to do a few exposés over the next couple weeks. Where I'm going to sit down and I'm going to talk with several people that have made the journey and the different reasons. Because I believe every human being has a story, especially a story like this, this arduous task, some of it easier than others, some of it harrowing and terrifying. And then what it was like pre-Trump and what it's been like post-Trump, the fears that they have. And I said to somebody, I'm not mad at them. I'm not. I feel no ill will. In fact, I admire what they have done because I think for most of us, we're honest with ourselves, with our family and the whole nine yards. Hell yeah, we do the same thing, right? Never been about them. My anger, as with all the people out there that are listening to this, your anger should not be at the people that have made the trek here, should not be at the people that are working here and living here illegally. It should be at the politicians who have skirted their responsibility for years and have used this group of people for their own political gains. That's where your anger should be. Not at the people that have come here. Not at the people who've made that. Are there bad people here? Yes. Do we need to weed them out? Yes, absolutely. We know that. By and large, most of the people that are here are good. But yesterday, this whole passing, this whole fighting and then knocking down the sanctuary city, you know, law or executive order that Trump had signed, that's a bunch of crap. Your anger is misguided. It should be at the people that have allowed this to happen in our country. It should be at the politicians, both federally and locally, who have turned their back on us, the taxpayers, and us, the citizens, and yes, even these people, and allowed them to come in here and integrate somewhat into society, and now they're the political football that everybody's kicking around. That's where your anger should be. It should be at the Nancy Pelosi's. It should be at the Chuck Schumer's, right? It should be at the Ted Cruz's. Why? Well, Ted Cruz's. No, it's because Ted Cruz, like a lot of Republicans, were fine. We're completely fine turning the other way and not really dealing with it because it was good for the Republicans, right? It's good for business. A lot of Republicans are that way. A lot of them. A lot of Democrats. Absolutely. One group was fine with it being about business. cheap labor. The other group was fine because they thought eventually one day these people will become voters. We'll figure out how we have to do that. And by making them voters and us placating them along the way, they'll vote for us. That's where your anger needs to go to. Not these people. No, not these people. The people that allowed it for decades. That's where your anger should be.
This was not just a victory for the cities, but it's also, in my opinion, it gives a little more calm to the residents of San Francisco, particularly immigrant populations. They're living in shadows. Some of them are not going to school or seeing their doctor or reporting to the police.
Well, first and foremost, some of what Mayor Ed Lee from San Francisco said is true. They're school-wise, there's some fear factors there. The people that we're going to be interviewing and talk to, there's worry. They're worried that ICE is on every corner, that every van that walks by rolls by, that every person that's walking by with a jacket on is somehow part of ICE, and at any moment people are going to break out and arrest everybody. You've seen through especially border states, urgent cares and hospitals, the wait times are down to virtually nothing in a lot of places because people are afraid to go, right? So the wall in some way is being built. But when he says this, shadows and this, that, and the other, California has been handing out licenses to people that are here illegally for the last, 12 months or so, 18 months, whatever it is? They're not all of them are scared. So let's slow your roll. But again, the anger that you have, and I have it too, needs to be directed at the people who are responsible for this. They allowed this to happen. You know, we talked last hour about the fact that Ann Coulter is canceled, her speech tomorrow at Berkeley, the fact that it's happened on numerous occasions on campuses, right-leaning people going in to give speeches and their speeches are canceled. There's a parade in Portland that's been canceled because of fears that what may happen, because some left-leaning groups have said that they're going to cause chaos. And everybody says, ooh, that's on them. If the group's going to get away with it, then that's on them. You should have enforced it. And guess what? Eventually, people will stop trying to do that stuff. Politicians didn't enforce the laws. They used these people in a lot of ways for their own bidding and their own doing. And because of that, we, the taxpayers, are paying for it. And eventually, these people are going to be paying for it. And it's caused a rift in our country when the real anger should be pointed at the politicians and the officials that have turned a blind eye for 2+ decades and allowed this to happen. Now, with all that being said and done, what exactly is a sanctuary city and what are the policies?
Don't necessarily ask people who are detained what their immigration status is. Don't ask, don't tell, that type of thing. Where it gets a little dicier is where they do get close to violating federal law. In other words, you have detainers and you have arrest warrants. So let's clear that up. If there's a valid federal arrest warrant, local law enforcement authorities can't say, we're not taking action on that.
Right.
That's been confused a little in the dialogue. If there's a detainer, however, sometimes somebody's being released and there's some kind of hold, they can discretionarily perhaps not act on that.
So that's where it gets a little dicey. Like who, what, when, how, and why. If this person's got a federal warrant out for them, if they've done some bad things, they and the feds are looking for them and you've got them in custody, you're not snitching on them. Right? Which is the way that, you know, these people come across. Well, that's not our job. No, it's not your job. But you have him in custody. He's a bad dude. He's been deported on several occasions. And we're looking for him because he's got a warrant, a federal warrant, because he's skipped. Right? Look, if you or I today had a federal warrant out for us and we got caught by the police for something stupid and they round us and they find out you have a federal warrant for you, they're going to hand your ass over to the feds. Somehow, this is another one of those things. Again, placating by playing politics, by checking off the boxes through identity. Because they somehow feel, well, if I'm good to this group of people, they'll eventually be good to me. And that's a bunch of bunk. The rules need to be the rules for everybody. The don't ask, don't tell, I have no problem with that. You find a bad dude who you know is a bad dude who's been wanted for doing bad things, and you catch his ass, and he's been deported on a few occasions. You know what? We have to act the right way, and taxpayers shouldn't be on the we shouldn't be on the ticket there to foot the bill for his ass being in prison.
It's not that clear. This whole sanctuary city debate, I mean, first of all, there's no firm legal definition of what a sanctuary city really is.
Have to look at the practice.
You have to look at the practice.
For example, in San Francisco, when the sheriff had a suspect in custody, he'd been deported a handful of times, kept coming back to San Francisco, sanctuary city. I said, we want him.
Yes.
He's, you know, convicted of several crimes. We want him. And the sheriff opened the jailhouse door, let him go.
And what happened? Kate Steinle was killed. It's just smart. We need common sense. But I'll tell you right now, the anger overall needs to be at the politicians. Even some of the big businesses that were fine and flooding money into to certain politicians to say, hey, look the other way. And the crazy liberal progressives who think this is a solid idea because they're hoping somewhere down the road that these people will eventually become voters for them. That's where the real anger needs to be pointed at. Not these people that come here who are looking to better their life. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. If you're hiring right now, a lot of you are, the frustration that you feel each and every day by sifting through resume after resume, thinking, my goodness, it's a lot of my time. And what do I get for it? Not a lot of great candidates. Well, stop what you're doing. ZipRecruiter.com is here to help you. How would you like to post your job to 200-plus sites all with a single click? That includes Facebook and Twitter, right? Any city, any job, any industry nationwide, they have the right candidate for you. All you have to do is post once. What happens is it goes through this ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. Then you don't have to worry about wasting your time sifting through crazy resumes and phone calls and whatnot. All you have to do is look at the candidates. You quickly screen them, you rate them, and then you hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter's been used by Fortune 100 companies and small and medium-sized businesses. And I think we're going to get a boom in this world. So this is why ZipRecruiter is important. Get ready for it, kids. You listeners out there, you got a job you're hiring for? I and ZipRecruiter will let you post your job for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. That's ZipRecruiter.com/report. One more time. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. Post your job for free today. You'll be happy you did. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonSon. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. It's the Chad Benson Show.
America's funniest cisgendered privileged white male with a bully pulpit the size of a divided nation. Here's Chad Benson.
I am cisgendered, I think. Can we double check again what that one is? And is it CIS or SIS? CIS, cisgendered. We don't want everybody to, not know all of the terms. And Phil, you still have the best line. What is it about my gender normalities?
You're forcing your gender normativeness on us again.
Ugh, God. When I do that, I apologize. I have to cross the board, kids. I apologize across the board. My gender normalities, and it's just sometimes I had, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. It is. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. A lot of people texting in about what I talked about before we went to break, which was immigration. And they're saying, I've never thought of it like that. But you're right. We shouldn't be mad at these people. We should be mad at the people that allow this to happen. Sometimes in life, you've got to take a different perspective on things. The reason the things like immigration and the free speech has been taken away in college campuses and things isn't because the kids, right? They don't want it there, but somebody is allowing them to stop it from having it there. Those people above them have a say. Shut up and do this is what's happening. The reason immigration's been this way is because people have allowed them for decades to come here. whether it be from China or whether it be from Mexico or Honduras, South America, El Salvador, Guatemala, wherever, they've allowed them to come here and they have given them the opportunity to eventually get into society and become part of society and work in the whole nine yards. Guess what? By allowing them to do that, others follow. If you would have put an end to it, and that person walks back home, and he gets there, and they said, what happens? And he said, I went over there, and I got popped. And then they told me I couldn't be here, and they sent my ass home, and they did it to everybody else. You know what happens? Eventually, people are like, I'm not trying that again. Right? Well, there'll be that few that says, hold my cerveza. But outside of that, you know, I'm going to try this. People are like, oh, Chad, that was so rude. But it's true. They don't have any fear. Then what's the deal? But who is going to put that there? Because if you don't enforce the damn laws, you allow kids to scream and yell and say, I don't want Ann Coulter and I don't want Milo and I don't want anybody on my campus with a different idea. And the person that's running it, he or she says, okay, even though these people over here do, you're being a little bit louder, so I'll just kind of do. Guess what? You have to say. You're the adult in the room. You're the chancellor. You're the politician. You're the official. Act like it. That's all you got to do. But they don't. Turn the blind eye. They turn. Works out. Sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. And then all of a sudden, by the time you realize the problem is getting too big and it's too big to handle, you're SOL. And as they always say, man, once you let that genie out the bottle, what can't you do? That genie's not going back in the bottle. No, 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 no. So we better figure out a way to lure him back into the bottle or be prepared for the consequences. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can weigh in on this. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Talk a little taxes. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Well, it was a great day for our Constitution. I think it showed that unconstitutional political threats against our cities cannot take away our rights, and they certainly can't steal our tax dollars. This was a day in which I hope that everybody sees that the hard work of actually fixing a broken immigration system should be our focus, not the scapegoating and not the political ideology that clearly is unconstitutional. This was not the Ninth Circuit going bananas. This is the words of Chief Justice Roberts being echoed back, that the 10th Amendment is something sacred, and you can't put a fiscal gun to the head of cities and threaten to take out the way our tax dollars because you don't like the way we do our business.
Remember that name? He's going to run for president, I think, one day on the Democratic side. His name is Eric Garcetti. He's right about one thing. We got a broken system, and we shouldn't scapegoat these people, as I think a lot of people do. But we should definitely be pissed at the people that allow things like this to happen, including the likes of Eric Garcetti, his father, and many other mayors and governors across this fine, amazing, beautiful country. And, of course, all of our senators, congresspeople, and presidents that have allowed this to continue to happen when it comes to illegal immigration. It is their fault. The majority of the blame is on them. The majority of the blame is on them. The rest of the blame, dare I say, goes on the other leaders of other countries who have essentially left no option but for people to hunt and gather elsewhere because they have failed their people. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. We'll get to some tax stuff here in a moment. Ron and Indy, what's happening?
I was just going to say, I've been listening to this, and like you said, you know, we've been hearing this for years. And, you know, people continue to elect the same people, the same, you know, they just, you know, beat the dead horse, you know, kick the can down the road. And, you know, it's just like I've said, I've been saying this for years now. Behind closed doors, the government, for years, whether people wanted to admit it or not, was trying to bust the middle class. The, you know, elites, you know, corporations said they wanted cheap labor. Well, I can tell you this. If you bust the middle class and you lose the middle class, truly, and you only have rich and poor in this country, that is the day that the United States will default on its debt. And I'll tell you why. Because if you don't have a middle class, who's going to pay the taxes? You will not have a sufficient tax base to generate enough revenue to pay off your debt or to at least keep it down to where you're basically not forced to say uncle and file for, you know, bankruptcy, if you will. And,
yeah.
You know, that's my fear about it, because if you just let people that want a job go, you know, get a job, the debt will fix itself, because the more you make, the more they take.
And absolutely, Rob. I appreciate that, my man. We got to jump. I appreciate that. And I'll tell you what, the other thing is as much as they want to say they fight for the middle class, a lot of the Democrats out there, what the last thing a Democrat wants you to do is become well-to-do or sufficient on your own, because you no longer need them. They need to be needed. The Republicans' message is, the message may be fine, the deliverance of the message is horrible. Self-sufficiency, personal responsibility, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. We can do a lot of these things, but you know what? The message and the way they delivered, because they've allowed the narrative to be held by the Democrats for too long, and they paint a picture of all that Republicans are dirty, old, mean, racist white men who hate anybody of color. Right? They've allowed that narrative to go on for, I got a lot of friends who are Republicans, and you know what? Not a lot of hate in them. Not a lot of anger in them. But there is a lot of, apathy. So I could care less. And that's what needs to change for them. And the Democrats have played a game a long time, too, and they act like they haven't. But the dream for them is to have a much larger permanent underclass, because you can rail against the rich. You can take from the rich. But if you got a huge bunch of have-nots that will always keep you in power, that's what matters. And then eventually, you have Venezuela. That what we want? I don't think so. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Today, the old White House there, where they delivered some exciting news.
The president is going to seize this opportunity by leading the most significant tax reform legislation since 1986, and one of the biggest tax cuts in the American history.
Big, huge, massive, huge. It was three decades. Real reform tax-wise. That right there was Gary Cohn. He is the White House Chief Economic Advisor. A lot of stuff that's going to be happening with this is going to be very interesting to pay attention to. Remember, you're going to hear a lot over the next, 24, 48 hours. You know, we see everything in snapshots. I'm going to give you the quick, easy rundown of it all so you don't have to try to read through 55 articles to figure it out. Let's all keep it simple, stupid. Give you the Cliff Notes version. The reality is everything you're going to hear, you're not going to get. But there's a lot of stuff in there that's good. You ask for more, expecting to get less, but know you have a cutoff point. The Democrats are going to have to be involved if we're going to get this through, and they understand that they're going to be a player on this, but what are they going to want out of it? That's the big question.
President Trump has made tax reform a priority, and we have a Republican Congress that wants to get it done. And this is something that, quite honestly, I hope the Democrats would support, too, because it's good for the American people.
Yeah, it is. It is good for the American people. We need a little bit of a break, and the economy needs a boost. You cannot tax your way to prosperity. Find me a nation that is taxing itself to prosperity, and I'd like to see that. Well, people say, well, what about the Danish and the Swedes and stuff like that? They're a free market society. But do they create anything? Do they export anything? When ABBA in the 70s is one of your biggest exports, you need to rethink things. As much as Justin Bieber's a huge star, and Justin Timberlake and you know, the likes of them, they're not one of our largest exports, right? Nobody says, man, nobody does like the Swedes, huh? That is innovation central. No, because the minute anything comes out of there, it's good. They bounce and come to a place like here, right? But most importantly, they go to a place like Ireland where they can set up with cheap, cheap, cheap taxes. The corporate tax thing is something to look at, which is vitally important. Busting it down to 15% across the board. Also, small and medium-sized business owners, right? Private business owners are going to be allowed to be taxed at that corporate rate, which is big. Small and medium-sized businesses, self-entrepreneurial size, small businesses, people start out of their garages or their homes. That is the backbone of America. That is the driving force of jobs in America. That news is huge. Every one of those guys and gals today who started a small business thought to themselves, I got myself a little bit of a raise if this thing can get through. Yeah, I may be able to afford to bring another person on and expand even more. That's big. You're going to have a chance to repatriate a one-time opportunity to come back here with very little repercussions, no more double taxation, meaning tax them in Europe for the business they do there, and if they want to bring the money home, we're going to tax it. And that includes individuals like myself when I live there. I got taxed both in England and I got taxed here on the same wages. That's ridiculous. That is not good. Now imagine a corporation like that. That's insane. That's why they keep their money elsewhere. Simplifying the system, bring it down to the point where it is, you know, very easy and simple to use. Taking a look at the way that we tax the estates. Somebody dies and leaves a nice estate for his family and his heirs. Why in the hell should we tax it again? You've already taxed that money. Somebody works hard their whole life. And I know what they say, you know, the Bernie Sanders of the world. Well, that's the transfer of wealth. It's going to be the greatest thing in the history of mankind. And that isn't right. Bernie, why are you concerned about other people's money? Oh, that's right, because you want to spend it. You want to spend other people's money. That's why you're concerned. There's a lot of things in here to the good that's going to help married couples, that's going to help. There's just a lot of good things in here, but they're not going to get it all. Not going to get it all. That's the one thing. So people are going to get excited about some stuff, but the big thing is the simplification. 35, 25, was it 15, 10, 15, something like that. So you're going to get three tax brackets instead of seven. Simplification. Get rid of a lot of the itemized deductions. Simplification. I want that. I think most people I know, I talk to, want that. It's about the simplification of it all. And the whole thought process that goes into it is, guess what? We do this, we free up money for people. When we free up money for people, they're going to put it back in the economy. The economy is going to start to take off. Businesses will expand. More people will work. More people will have money to spend. More people will also get raises. They'll be taxed more. All of a sudden, it's a circle that's not vicious, but a circle that's good. More money into the economy, more money in your pockets, back into the economy. The expansion goes, growth happens. 3 to 4%, you're laughing all the way to the bank. Everybody's happy with that kind of growth. He gets elected easily. We need a boost. Let's be real. The stock market may have taken off, but most people I talk to, while their 401k looks okay, they're not retiring tomorrow. And they're still living paycheck to paycheck. But here is the issue, and this is the issue that is going to be. Is this a workable plan when it comes to what we already have, which is a lot of debt?
If this, in fact, happens and it works, it'll be one of the greatest things ever done, and President Trump would get reelected in a sweeping victory of economic growth. If it doesn't work, it'll be the biggest disaster in history.
He's right about that. That is the financial expert Jordan Goodman from MoneyAnswers.com. And when you talk to the experts are going to do what experts do. Tomorrow night, the NFL draft is going to happen. You got all these guys who are quote-unquote draft experts. And have you ever gone back, and for a lot of people, they go back and they'll go, wow, let's look at the draft class of 2015, right? Or look at Peyton Manning's draft class. There's Peyton Manning, it was a 50-50 on who the Colts were going to take. Was it going to be Ryan Leaf or Peyton Manning? Peyton Manning's going in the Hall of Fame as one of the top three or four quarterbacks of all time. Ryan Leaf is speaking to individuals that are entering the NFL after years of absolute failure, drug abuse, addiction, and prison. on the pitfalls that he had. But some people out there thought he was a better quarterback. What happens in the world of finance? People are going to get there and they're going to predict in the future what they think is going to happen. And people on the right are going to find people that say, hey, if all goes well and we get 3 or 4 GDP, guess what, kids? This thing's going to take off and we're going to be able to cut into that debt. The left's going to say, man, you're taking out so much tax money with what we spend. The debt's going to grow by trillions. People are going to pontificate about what may happen. But we definitely need some sort of jumpstart, and I think this is a good start. Remember, what you're seeing is like a movie, right? They film 4, 3, 4, 5 hours of a movie, spending 60, 90 days filming it, but there's going to be a lot left on the cutting room floor, and then you get the movie. Hopefully, we get an Oscar winner and not a dud. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson. He's more popular in France than Jerry Lewis.
Why wouldn't I be? Just letting you guys know I am. Got you over the hump, right? That's what we do here. We infotain you. You got some information. I give you a snapshot of the things you need to know. We make you laugh a little bit. We all go home and we have a laugh. We're like, hey, that was fun. It wasn't horrible. No, it was good times. Better than getting your tooth pulled, that's for sure. United Airlines in a little bit of trouble again. Yeah, they are. They got some issues. Had some issues for a while, apparently. I didn't realize their issues were that bad. But they're at the point now where they just, they're now killing animals. I know. His name was Simon. It was a ginormous. Was that the best way to describe him? It was ginormous. Huge. Massive. They call him a giant continental bunny or a Flemish bunny. If you don't know what Flemish is, Belgium. It's the language they speak, the Flemish. It's a dying language. You wouldn't really have to know a lot about it. Belgium is a small country with like 12 different languages. It's bizarre. But it is. French, German, Flemish. But this bunny was mega big. I mean, he was huge. It was like, if you thought of the Easter Bunny, this is it. It was a huge bunny. It was on its way to being the largest bunny in the history of the world. Darius is the largest. I've learned too much about giant bunnies today. Darius was 4'4", weighed 53 pounds, right? They don't live very long. And by the way, it's $6,500 a year to keep these bunnies alive. But this bunny landed in Chicago Airport and United, you know, right? Took him out and they put him in a holding room. And somewhere between the taking him out of the airplane and putting him in the holding room, he died. Of course, United's getting blamed for it. We've actually got audio of them taking him out of the plane. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Dr. Dow. Poor Dr. Dow. He is never going to live that down, nor should he. But it was look. These things are, they are a freak of nature. If you've never seen these bunnies, they are amazing. They're a freak of nature. They're huge. I mean, they're like, it's like a little dog. You know, they can get up like to 4'4". He was 3 feet long. He's only 10 months old. They thought he was going to be the biggest bunny in the world. This crazy ex-Playboy model that actually did plastic surgery to look more like Jessica Rabbit from the Roger Rabbit movies. Roger, right? She bought him. She was going to rent him out for $500 a day. I don't know why anybody would have a $500 a day bunny. Like, could you, what's that phone call like? Hello? Yeah. Do you have like 4 foot bunnies? Well, oddly enough, we do. I don't know why you'd want to rent it out, but you know, that's what they were going to do. But it was a tragedy. And you know, there's all kinds of things going around about Simon, what took place. There's a lot. Celebrities are starting to chime in left, right, and center, like Scott Baio.
I'm okay. A little shocked, but not completely shocked that this happened. But my thing really is, I feel bad because her whole life she was
Simon's
troubled.
Whole life.
Could never find what made her happy. All 10 months content, you know what I mean? And
big issue.
For me, you do drugs or drink, you're going to die. Ugh. And I'm sorry if that's cold.
That is cold, man. Speaking of cold, Simon's cold right now. And we were deciding today, what do you do with the carcass, right? Because it's a carcass. When you're a dead animal, you're a carcass, right? You're not a cadaver. You're a carcass. Do you eat it? Because it's rabbit. And how good is Flemish rabbit? Like, there's pigs you eat and other pigs you just don't eat, right? You look at that, huh? Look at Anthony over here thinking, man, Anthony is an entrepreneur. He doesn't know. He says stuff it and rent it out. Still, and you could eat the insides, right? Because there's more than one way to skin a rabbit. Isn't that the old saying? Oh, Chad, you just gone. You're a habitual line crosser. Oh, poor Simon. Simon says dead. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter. You can always text us 323-538-2423. Got a couple polls up for the old Twitter there. Check them out. One's about sanctuary cities. The other's about the taxes. Trump and his taxes. At Chad Benson Show. You can email us, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Solid day. Rob O'Neill, the man who killed us, on the show tomorrow. For Anthony, for Phil, my name is Chad Benson. As always, I bid you all adieu. We're over the hump. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.